Last week, State Senator Leland Yee was briefly arrested after an FBI investigation alleged he was part of an elaborate conspiracy to defraud citizens and illegally traffic firearms.
Hundreds of officers are said to have been involved in a series of raids in Sacramento and the Bay Area.
Ironically, Senator Yee has been a major advocate for gun control.
If what federal prosecutors now say is true, Yee was on both sides of the fence of gun control and weapons trafficking.
The story is sounding like a Hollywood screenplay. It involves an FBI probe accusing Leland Yee of accepting funds from an undercover agent posing as a businessman for a medical marijuana dispensary in Arizona. Yee is also accused of being connected to a convicted felon who goes by the name of Raymond Shrimp Boy Chow. The accusations have provoked calls for Yee to step down, including from Governor Jerry Brown and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom.
I think Senator should resign for the benefit not only of himself, focus on his own problems, but the entire institution. Fundamentally, this is a sad day for all of us because it's all about public trust.
That's Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom. On Monday, Yee made an appearance in court, but he hasn't entered a plea yet. The FBI allegations have brought up many questions about the intricacies of campaign contributions. The San Francisco Chronicle has been reporting widely on the FBI's investigation into Senator Leland Yee and 25 others. Chronicle reporters Henry Lee and Vivian Ho have been covering this unfolding story in detail, and they join me now to give us a recap of what we know so far.
Well, State Senator Leland Yee, self-described reform Chinatown gangster Raymond Shrimp Boy Chow, and Keith Jackson, who is a consultant to both Yee and Mr. Shrimp Boy, are now charged by the feds in a staggering complaint accusing them of a number of crimes, including deceiving citizens of honest services, trafficking in guns, money laundering. So this is a public corruption case with ties to the Chinese gang that Mr. Chow allegedly runs. It has implications for politicians, and it's just an unbelievable set of circumstances.
So can you tell us a little bit more about these societies like Geekung Tong, which I think means Brotherhood of Freemasonry?
I believe
Freemason
so.
Society?
This specific organization was started around the time of the gold rush to help Chinese immigrants. And in this affidavit, one of the defendants says, well, there's a legitimate side of this group and an illegitimate side. Now, those who are with the group want to hold themselves at arm's length with Mr. Chow and the other defendants. They're saying there is a legitimate side to this group, and our basic tenet is to help Chinese immigrants.
And what role do these kinds of societies generally play in Chinatown and in San Francisco society and politics?
It's kind of like the same as any kind of union or society. You know, there's strength in numbers, and they provide the support that a lot of minority groups don't get when they first come to this country.
So really helping new immigrants.
Exactly.
And Raymond Chow is an immigrant himself. He's actually a Chinese citizen. He's applying for U.S. citizenship, correct?
That's correct. He has what's known as an S visa. Some call that a snitch visa, but yes, he is trying to become a citizen here in the U.S.
So there's 137 pages of this indictment. I started to read through the affidavit. What's in it?
What's not in it? That's the question, I think. It's a very, very lengthy investigation that they go very much into detail with in the affidavit. They talk about how it started in about 5 years ago. One FBI agent finally made a connection into this brotherhood. And through that, another FBI agent met Raymond Chow. And from there, that FBI agent ended up getting so undercover in this case that he was actually inducted into the brotherhood as an honorary member.
How dangerous is that sort of a covert operation?
It's definitely very dangerous, and he played it off as he was a member of the East Coast Mafia, that he had connections and that he could make this stuff happen, and that he also had a lot of criminal dealings on the East Coast, that he needed some arms, money, and all that to help finance. It's definitely a very well thought out, very well planned sort of operation.
So, Henry, you've been covering crime for years. You cover this stuff all of the time. How big of a story do you think that this is? Where does it fit into kind of criminal justice coverage?
Well, it really ranks really high up there, Holly, because you've got this confluence of politics, crime, gangsters, Chinese cultures, financial crimes, physical violent crimes or allegations, whether you see that entrapment, a whole just a gamut of legal issues and crime involved here.
And it reads like a crime novel, this affidavit, this 137-page affidavit. How long will this take to go through the system?
The criminal justice system takes long enough for one person. You have 26 defendants total, and also three of them are very, very big names. It's going to be a very, very long process.
And that's what one of the defense attorneys said, is that, you know, you have these big names and you start with this big sort of scandal and a reminder that in our system you're innocent until proven guilty. What do you think the possibilities of, you know, this being a really big deal right now and then turning out not to be such a big deal in the future, not as serious as it appears to be?
I think no matter what happens, I mean, it's you're innocent until proven guilty in the criminal justice system. But as you mentioned before, with the court of public opinion, for a politician to have these sort of allegations lobbed at him, it'll be very difficult for him to come back from this, even if these allegations proved to be not true.
And they just canceled a Democratic fundraiser, a golf tournament that was supposed to happen, and they've canceled it. So it looks like it's having deeper ramifications for sort of politics in general and the Democratic Party in specifically.
Yeah, absolutely. When you also have two other Democrats who are now under a cloud, and you've got, you know, members of his own party telling him, you know, get out of here. We can't have you stink up this wonderful organization, this, you know, hallowed institution that's the Senate or the Assembly. You know, leave. So that very clearly has a lot of implications beyond what this case alleges.
Henry Lee is a reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle, and we're also speaking with the Chronicle's Vivian Ho. I'm Holly Kernan. You're listening to Cross Currents. So the case against Senator Leland Yee centers on the idea that he accepted campaign donations for political favors, alleged bribery. How different is what he did from everyday workings of trying to raise, you know, $70,000 or more in a political campaign? I mean, we hear all the time that politicians have to be raising money pretty much all the time in order to stay in office. So what's the big difference here?
Well, that's a really good question, Holly, because indeed politicians have constituents who expect certain things of them. Like, if you do this, will you at least get the door open? Well, in this case, we have things on tape in which Leland Yee allegedly, there's a specific A to B connection between, okay, if you give me the money for this, I will do this.
What investigators are alleging is that Senator Yee crossed that line between, I will represent you if you elect me, and he helped me get elected by contributing to my campaign, and pay to play. He crossed that line into just, if you give me money, I will make this happen for you.
That's the allegation.
That's the allegation.
And, you know, reporters like all of us sitting around this table frequently do slice and dice and look at where political contributions came from and then what the voting record actually looks like. And so that you can draw comparisons to where political donations came from and the voting record. Mm-hmm. But that is somehow different than out and out bribery. You know, we're talking about this line. How fine is it?
Yeah, and they have to be careful, too, because Leland Yee is quoted in the affidavit as saying, well, I can't do that. That's illegal, or that's pay to play. So there's going to be a lot of parsing of what Yee allegedly said by a good defense lawyer saying, well, you know what? That's not connected directly. You can't prove that this was a, you know, cause-effect. So that, I mean, on a daily basis, you there will be many, many, you know, letters of support, you know, a phone call, say, hey, can you meet with such and such? But when you have this alleged direct connection, a cause and effect, you know, people on tape saying, hey, I will give you X amount of money if you do Y, and then Y occurs, then it's going to be really difficult for the defense. It's going to be challenging for them to surmount that.
I think it was especially very disappointing for the Asian American community, though. You know, Leland Yee, for so long, was such a big figurehead in the community, and he was sort of, you know, the local made good, the local boy who went on and did it. And for these allegations to be brought against him now, it's very shocking for many.
Yeah, it's distressing, and obviously we can't paint everyone with any race with a broad brush, but it's just, you know, you have this model minority stereotype, and you see people like Leland Yee doing well and, you know, coming down hard against guns and violent video games and to see this fall from grace. I mean, he's all over the media. Reporters are chasing him, surrounding him at his house, at the federal building, getting in and out of cars. I mean, this is just a, it is a shock.
And I mean, our criminal justice system is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. Do politicians have to live by a different standard, do you think? I mean, people are, seem to be pointing the finger at him, you know, that these allegations in and of themselves are damning.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you have people who are in the public trust, from politicians to police officers to teachers to firefighters, you know, we have a story today in the Chronicle about charges against a San Francisco firefighter who was allegedly drinking and driving and crashed into a motorcycle and things like that. It's always shocking because you look up to these people. And when you see one bad apple, as they like to say, you wonder, are all the apples bad? And this is someone that we trusted. So it is, there is somewhat of an expectation that these kinds of people who are leaders, you know, abide by a higher standard.